Greetings in the light of the Most Radiant One. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you are listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. Welcome, all of you closet Christs out there, those of you who indeed are the promised one, waiting in the shadows, or waiting, should we say, in the wings, awaiting your entrance call into the staged life. I'd like to talk a little bit about what it is to be in the closet and what it is to be a Christ. The shows that I've been doing, and this is number 8, have been primarily looking at souls who are very, very advanced in their consciousness, quite often young in age, positioned throughout the world, and they're souls who we would characterize as being the sages, the returned lords of light, the sadhus, the rishis, those who have awakened before in another time and in another place. We could call them the avatars, those who have come down from a higher state of awareness, consciousness, dimension, or planetary realm to be of service at this time on the planet. As many of you are aware, we are in a time in which the Earth is spiraling into another octave of vibrational overlay that we call the fifth dimension, the seventh golden age, the new era. There are many, many terminologies. Basically, they mean the same thing. The ascension program, the rapture, the lifting, the quickening, all of these things refer to an acceleration of time, the perception of reality, enlightenment, and consciousness itself. So these shows, they are particularly targeted to those of you who may not have had anyone really to explain what you're going through and to understand, actually, the intricate process of what it is to bring a very advanced consciousness into a new body, whether that new body is a walk-in body where you've appropriated the equipment or the, let's say, the vehicle on another, or whether you are integrating yourself back in time from the future. And let me explain something here. Earth is in a time lag. Everything that has ever been purposed to occur in the future has already happened in the eternal now. So what you're doing is coming into an agreement with a particular vibration that has already been, let's say, secured in time and space and manifestation. You're coming into vibrational agreement, and you are integrating that agreement, that understanding, that overlay into your present consciousness and persona. When this occurs, very often there's a tremendous shifting in how you experience yourself in life in general. But the important thing that I want you to bear in mind is that everything that you're ever going to be in eternity, you already are out of time. In time, we have time sequence. Time sequence is, interestingly enough, localized within the human brain. It is part of the third dimensional perception. It is not fourth dimensional, as science teaches you. It is very much third dimensional in the human brain itself. Case in point, any of you who are meditators know that the minute you transcend bodily consciousness or awareness, you go out of time. No one who is truly meditating is aware of the passage of time. And yet many of these beings who are meditating are in fact meditating what we would call the fourth dimension. So where is time? No, time is not in the fourth dimension. What is the fourth dimension? Well, technically speaking, esoterically speaking, it includes the astral and the causal realms. The causal realms are the realms, let's say, a higher dimensional aspect of the emotions. They're emotional realms. They are realms of imaginative pageantry, let's say, the things that are clothed with your feelings. But they're also the realms in which there is the seedbed of karma, those things that have been set in motion that I like to call the plane of the round toots. Are those things that you purpose to get around to someday, sometime. They're involved healing, processing, clearing yourself, ridding yourself of the ego and the various momentums and distortions that come with misidentifying self with a body. all the problems that we have in life come with identifying ourselves as a human physical body. Now, physical bodies are very important. Let's not forget that. We are the temple of the living God. But that's just the point. We're the temple. We're not the living God that dwells within the temple. We are the temple. So what is it that dwells within this temple? It is what we call the spirit, or in some vernacular, the atma, or the soul. Sometimes that term is bandied about as the same thing, but in actuality, they're very different. The spirit is the atma. That's the eternal part of yourself that never gets born, it never dies, it never changes in the sense of anything limited or negative. It is literally and essentially one with God. Then you have an extension out of that that we call the soul. That is the individualized will, the emotional patterning, the feelings, and the mind, which includes two aspects, the higher mind or the buddhi or intellect or the intuitive self, and then you have the lower mind, which is the ego, fear-based, separative mind. Now, having said that, the perception, when it is focalized in the physical body, where you believe you're a body, that's it, you get born, you die, that's it, that's called the ego, or just plain ignorance. That's when you are locked into illusion, maya, samsara. This is the part that gives you all of the difficulties that you call the the human karma drama, I like to call it. Because as long as you're essentially identified with your body, you're pretty unhappy camper. Nobody who believes they're a body that's subject to death and even worse, birth into this realm of illusion, can be happy. In fact, that's the zone of worry and survival and dog-eat-dog and all of the things that we're all too familiar with in the third dimension. It's quite possible, through meditation and various other spiritual practices, to begin to anchor your consciousness at a level that transcends bodily identification. The first stage of that is what we call the process of awakening or being born again of spirit. The minute that you realize that you are something more than just this body, you actually are born anew. You begin to see life from a whole different perspective. That perspective is characterized by two very predominant characteristics that occur. Anyone who has had a measure of contact with their true self beyond their body has a sense of responsibility towards all life. That sense of responsibility begins to extend to the smallest of actions in one's physical life. You begin to walk in the world as if the world was your home rather than something foreign from yourself. You begin to regard other people as your family. You begin to open your heart. You begin to open your mind. You begin to develop a sense of we instead of just little me. All of a sudden, instead of it becoming all about me, it becomes about we. Also, the second characteristic is that there's generally a sense of moving from the battlefield to diplomacy and communication. Most conflict is resolved through communication and being conscious and present with the process rather than pointing fingers of blame. The other characteristic is that you begin to take care of the environment. You begin to care about the issues in the way we live our lives. You begin to care about things like pure water, pure air, conserving natural resources. You become more conscious in how you're eating and what you're eating and how you take care of your body. In other words, you begin to really realize that life is very precious in the physical realm. It's very brief, and we need to guard it and take care of it because it carries something extremely precious, which is the divinity within, which is who you truly are. I'm always amazed at the number of people that I speak to, and I'm afraid I err in the sense of assuming that the majority of people realize they're not their body. And I was talking to a master soul the other day on the phone, a very young one, but nevertheless, a master soul I recognize this was an awakened being I was speaking to. And yet this person really did not have a sense of existence above the body. This person didn't really have an experience of living a real life, a tangible life, an active, participatory life at a level other than the physical human third dimension. And it kind of took me aback. I thought, my gosh, there's actually people out there that are not awake and aware of a life beyond just awake beta level existence. And so I wanted to, again, go into the fact that you are not a human being trying to ascend and trying to have a human experience. No, you are a divine, formless consciousness that has assumed a human form with an agreement to stay focused in this planetary system, in this timeline, in this reality construct, for the purpose of stepping down divine energies in time and space, primarily the energies of love and wisdom. That's the purpose of this planet, in this solar system, in this universe. It is stepping down the energies that we call love wisdom, or the Christ consciousness, or the Buddha consciousness. Both of these masters, principles embodied love wisdom. Buddha, predominantly wisdom love. The Christ in the West, predominantly love wisdom. But you have the second ray of synthesis. So the whole lesson of this planetary system is to make love visible in time and space, to be the love of God walking on 2 feet, to be that which is the singing praise of God, going in and going out of our lives. Whatever it is we do it in the joy and the love and the celebration of life. When you see that type of manifestation operating through a person, you know you are looking at someone who has become self-realized. So that being born again, that awakening to the fact that the Lord dwells within you as you, that, gee, you are you. You are the guru. The spirit of the living God dwells within you. You are the Ark of the Living Covenant. You are the Holy Grail. You are that precious, precious living stone in which the Lord is enthroned. All of these metaphors refer to the truth of who you truly are. Now, when you pass out of this body, you move into the next body, which is your astral body, which is an exact duplicate of your physical form. After a while, you revert to about the age of 25 in appearance, even if you're old, and you revert back to perfect health if you were impaired or diseased in any way. So that's why when someone appears on the inner planes to someone and they're in an astral body, they look younger, and they, of course, look whole and healthy. Beyond that level is the causal level, which is a little bit more of a really, really beautiful, beautiful realm. Above that one, you'll have the mental realm. Above that, you'll have the etheric, which is called the great void. When people speak of going into the void or the emptiness or nirvana, actually, they've only gone into Mahasuna, which is the great deep. It's the great, if you ever saw the movie The Wizard of Oz, it's that poppy field where everyone goes to sleep before they get to the Emerald City. So it's a zone in which you go unconscious. It's the plane of the great collective unconscious. So you're, of course, not conscious when you go into that. You're familiar with that because every time you leave your body and go to sleep at night, you pass through unconsciousness. Every time you come back in the body in the morning, you pass through unconsciousness. And then the last thing you pass through to get back in your body is the causal realm, which is the realm of all the imagination and the feelings and things that come back with you in your dreams, whether they're good or bad. So at each of those levels, you have a body, you have an identity, you have an existence, and you have a life. That life is lived as vividly as anything in the physical realm. It is nothing airy-fairy. It is nothing immaterial. This realm is, each realm is very, very, very solid to those that dwell in that realm. Now, above that great void is the first real realm, which we would call home, or the kingdom of God. And that is called the plane of truth, or the soul plane, or the fifth realm, the fifth plane, the fifth dimension. That is a realm in which you, as an entity, appear as a golden orb of light. That can take any number of forms. You can manifest in any way that you choose when you are soul conscious. You're not limited to your matter of appearing or the form. Now, that's the first real plane. Those are the planes that never go into what we call the dissolution of Pralaya. Pralaya is a period of rest in between manifestation and creative cycles. So that plane does not go into pralaya or disillusion. It stays permanent and constant, and it is the springboard into the higher God worlds, or the throne realms, or the realms of ascending divine glory, which we can only really speculate about, because few, even amongst the yogis, go beyond, if they get as high as the soul, go beyond that. Only the spiritual travelers, those who initiate not only into the light, but into the living word of the sound current, are able to go into the God realms. I believe it's been said that 14 souls made it into those higher worlds without a spiritual traveler. So of the billions of souls in the incarnational patterns, you can see how rare that is. So having said that, if you're really ready to go into the God worlds, you will have been contacted probably before you reach the soul plane. Because that plane, too, is very, very difficult to reach unless you've been initiated into the sound current. The reason being, most people sit in passive meditation, and passivity does not take you into the extremely dynamic and high-powered voltage of the higher spiritual planes. They are anything but passive. They're like, oh my gosh, I don't even have words to describe them, but if you could be walking in living music, music that makes your bones rattle, light that pierces you to the very core, a power that is so dynamic, it blows through you like, okay, words fail me, I can't come up with a descriptive here, but you get the idea. It's active, it's dynamic, it's not passive, it's not sitting and waiting. Waiting stops at Mahasuna, at the great etheric void. That's where your waiting stops. To go beyond that void, you have to have a faith so dynamic, a trust in self so pure, that you fly like an arrow of impassioned purpose into the very heart of the golden realm of soul. When you're in that golden realm of soul, your viewpoint changes to one of being in the center of the hub, and you begin to experience being in the center of all life. Gone is the up and down type of paradigm that most people reference to, the here and the there. You are sitting in the very heart of the all that is in the eternal now. Moreover, you can move your awareness anywhere you want within the many overlays of parallel probable realities and existences, and you can also send forth as many aspects of soul as you wish to coalesce a form in these myriads of worlds within worlds. So to get to that plane, you need an active spiritual technique. You have to go to God. You no longer wait for God. You, at that level, begin to go to God. And you would say you are self-realized at that level. But that's the first stage of going then beyond the beyond the beyond. So all of the yogic stages that we would call Savikalpa, Nirvikalpa, Samadhi are not the sunam bonum. Those are perhaps the very, very threshold beginning steps of in real life. Savikalpa means an experience where you are in the higher consciousness, but you're also aware of self as separate from the higher consciousness. So it's the higher consciousness plus self-cognition. And that's what it means, sa, vikalpa. Sa means with, agitation of the mind, or vikalpas, impressions. And nir, vikalpa, means without those impressions and consciousness. And nir, vikalpa, samadhi, takes you to a stage in which there is only the self. You lose all sense of otherness entirely. Now, you can only maintain that state for 21 days before your body will literally fall off like a dried-up leaf. So even if you make those levels to where they're sustained periodically for periods of extended time, generally if you're meant to teach or to function here at all rather than just leave your body and go to another plane, you are kept just beneath that level so that you can work here. You cannot stay in the human body beyond a certain level of vibration. You simply will go to the next level if you've transcended entirely any type of attachment here. That's why you always keep a portion of attachment and identity going on each level so that you don't really go bonkers you have to have something to relate to as important to do and be involved with, otherwise you just drift off. So the things that inspire us, that keep us motivated, that keep us anchored here, are what we would call the golden chains of good karma, good merit, good endeavor. Those are the good goals and plans that God has purposed within us, that we would call our missions and our purpose for being here. Having said that, the things that usually keep us involved in the world are attachments and projections and unfinished business, which we would call karma in the sense that binds you. Well, both, all karma binds you, karma meaning action. So all actions bind you to the fruit of the action, unless, of course, you've learned to live beyond identifying with being the doer. If you're able to live in that free state, then, of course, you don't get the results of the actions. If you're just doing it as a being that's simply an agent of higher forces. So increasingly, we are being taught to be agents, to not live as if the earth was about us and what me and about me, in other words, but that the earth is actually a field of service in which we become increasingly more and more skilled in operating and wielding and sourcing and flowing energy and directing those forces that augment and assist and ameliorate the progression of life forms. And that is the primary work of a master, is that they facilitate energy flows. They take responsibility for anchoring and facilitating and monitoring and overseeing certain energetic momentums that are operative in the divine plan. Now, when I speak of people being in the closet, I'm speaking about a soul that, for whatever reason, has confined himself to a very small perception of self, a very small area of operation. They are in a stuffy, confining state of being, often stagnant, quite often and invariably bored, probably depressed, and feeling like their life has no meaning and purpose. So the reason it has no meaning and purpose is because you're living too small, you're living below the meaning and purpose that God has for you, and you're caught up in identifying with the lower body, the world that the body kind of creates around itself, which we call the ego or the personality or the limited self, and trying to make that have some kind of significance, which for an advanced soul, it doesn't. Not only has it no significance, it is almost intolerable to confine a high consciousness in a closet, in a narrow, narrow space. Now, notwithstanding the stuffiness of a closet, you also have in there the things that you have identified self with, namely your clothing, okay? Generally, we dress, and our clothing matches pretty much how we define ourselves, how we feel about ourselves, who we think we are, and the image that we wish to portray. You'll find that as you begin to develop a sense of identity that's not predicated on projecting an image, that you become quite simple. You become more and more simple in your thoughts, your lifestyle, the clothing you wear, the things that you want to have responsibility for, instead of having the BMW and the Mercedes or so watch, you might realize, you know what, I could do fine with a small economy car, you know. All I need to do is to have a grocery cart, something that will get me to point A to point B. It could be used. I don't really need the fancy image. You might think about your house. Gosh, do I really need a two-story, five-bedroom mansion when I'm living alone with a wife and a family? And, you know, the kids could share bunk beds. They could have a lot more fun if they had a little less and a little bit more urge to be creative in their own individual spheres. Do I really need a TV in each room? You get my drift. Life becomes much more simple when you prioritize what you really, really, really need and how you really, really want to spend and not squander the precious life that you have. Life goes very, very quickly in this realm, especially now with the Schumann resonance of the earth increasing almost to double. the perception of time itself has hastened to the point that some even have ventured to say that we have a 16-hour day instead of a 24-hour day. That gives you some pause. Notwithstanding, we have to factor in enough time to spend in quality attunement with a higher self, with the divine within. Otherwise, you're completely out of sync with who you are at that higher level, and you're living a life so shallow and so physically expressive that all of your energy is being wasted and spilt out into the third dimensional picture of reality, and you haven't stored up that treasure in heaven or in the inner self, where rust and moth cannot touch and corrupt. So masters are very, very careful in how they spend energy, time, money, attention, and focus. Rarely will you see a very advanced soul spend time, wasting time, hanging out, kicking back, as the old sayings go. They don't have time for that. They don't have time for social exchanges that are not purposeful, that are not focused into the area of their particular calling. They don't have time to read, watch a lot of secular TV that doesn't have any relation to their major mission. Everything they do on purpose. They do in a way of being of greater service to humanity, maybe picking up information quickly and then moving on to where they can do something about that information. So the life of a person who has chosen to step into the vaster life is one of greater and greater assumption of responsibility, accountability, and the ability to actualize self at the highest levels of effective manifestation. Many of the souls right now that are the worker, teacher, leaders in the world that are out there writing the books and doing whatever, many of us have come through what is called the human potential era, which would be the 70s and 80s, when there were many, many different types of human potential trainings, which in a 5-day period of time, you could literally probably achieve in 5 days what it might have taken you 5 lifetimes to achieve in a previous time. These were highly wonderful interactives where you could actually go into a room and go through processes with a good trainer that would bring you through the major blocks to your consciousness, the major blocks to your ability to manifest the things in your life that you truly need and wanted to manifest, and the things that you do to undermine your success and your happiness at all levels. I personally am a graduate of what was called Insight Transformational Seminars, and those are still operative throughout the planet. And we have the Awakening Heart, the Centering in the Heart, Living from the Heart, all of these different seminars, which I believe probably saved me so many years and so much time just by going through those extremely well-done seminars. So I suggest that as a very, very quick way to integrate your mastery. If you have access to Insight, and most people do throughout the world, otherwise you can call the Insight Seminars in Los Angeles, and there you can find out where a local training would be available in your area. This will save a great deal of time for you, Master Souls. Many of you come in very, very adept in your spiritual levels, but very, very ungrounded and integrated in your human personality. You may have issues with sexuality, you may have issues with money, you may have issues with all sorts of personality quirks that come in the karmic fields that you don't have the tools to really do much with. And in many, many cases, you're not even aware of them. They may come in through your genetics or your upbringing or whatever, your schooling, your conditioning. So I highly recommend human potential trainings by a good, really, really skilled trainer. And the only one I have been to myself that I can personally recommend are the Insight trainings, although I'm aware there are many, many out there. The second thing is that if you can't anchor that magnificence through you, what's the use of knowing you're a great soul if you're not walking in that greatness and able to to wield energies with skill and in a masterful way in the physical level. I believe with all of us that takes a period of practice, practice, practice. Spiritual practice, medical practice, all of these things are referred to as practice, legal practice. So when you say the word practice, you've got to know that it's a process of application and trial and error and finding those things that work and discerning those things that don't work. So these are things that are very, very important to get that closet Christ out and get you manifesting in that level that you're designed to function in at the highest and most maximal degree of efficiency. Now the word itself, Christ, means, it's a Greek word, Christos, and it means anointed, the anointed one. What is anointing? Anointing is the supernatural endowment of power from the higher spiritual planes that enables you to step forth and transcend human limitation in divinely sourced ways. The anointing comes upon you in the areas in which you lose sight of a personal ego self in the doing of whatever it is that you do. When you see a person functioning in their anointing, I think in modern times we've coined the phrase the Zen of archery, the Zen of cooking, the Zen of tennis, the Zen of golf. Well, you're in the Zen of whatever it is you do when you're doing it from the anointing. It's the natural flow. Ducks are anointed to be able to swim from the time they're born. Tennessee walking horses are anointed to walk with that characteristic running gait from the time that they're their foaled, when they come out of the mare. Immediately they're able to do that peculiar little running gait that you notice in the Tennessee walking breed of horse. So you have this natural ability that comes in with you. And that's why it's so good to allow children to find that area of their anointing by giving them, exposing them to a variety of different expressions and then watching to see what they go to normally. I know for me, I was always finding the highest tree I could possibly climb so that I could think about God. I always wondered what was behind the form, what was behind the clouds, where was the kingdom of heaven, where was God. What is this thing that was beating my heart and breathing me, even when I was asleep? What is that light that was shining in eyes, and where did it go when my cats would die or I would see a dead bird on the road? Where did the light go? What is that spark of life that shines with such vitality? And where does it go when the body is in the coffin? These were the thoughts that absorbed me as a child. I was always, always meditating on the self, on God. Who am I? Where have I come from? Even though I was born with a knowing that I had come from another planet, I clearly remembered it. I remembered a spaceship bringing me here and leaving me. I remembered the feeling of being, feeling like I was left behind. Now I know I chose to come. But as a young child, I just felt like I'd been dumped here in a very alien world. Excuse me. Now, in my own process, let me explain that a little bit so that you have a little understanding of that. I am the third of a dissension of overlays of consciousness into this body. I was born conscious, self-realized, and knowing I had come from another planet. And I operated for a cycle of time, expressing myself in the artistic and in the creative realms as a circus performer, as a singing, dancing actress, as a primarily the performing arts. I was in a dance company. So that was the expression of my first persona, which was a Pleiadian and Venusian lineages that I carried. The second embodiment came in an experience of 3 hours and 45 minutes of missing time. Came in 64. I was taken up. I was shown who I was within the command. And right after that, I met my first Ashtar Command teacher, who told me who I was from the Ashtar Command and that I was to work with them, and that I was from Venus. And so that had a complete, represented a complete change of consciousness for me. So the first integration we could call the integration of my high self. The second one was the integration of my soul self. And then I have to skip the timelines because when I'm in this level of consciousness, I can't track linear time very well. But in the early 90s, I came in as Athena, as Ashtar Athena, first of all, and then later as Commander Lady Athena. These were each integrations that took place consciously. They took place aboard ship, and they also took place by being beamed up out of my car onto a ship physically. And they also took place on Mount Shasta when I was taken into the inner realms of Telos and met with the Masters and met with Ashtar. So my integration as Commander Lady Athena came in only after I had lived two other previous lives. My second life, by the way, was one in which I was pure Venusian, and I went into the ministry. I became very, very involved with ministry in the Vedic sense, more than the Christian sense, and then later more predominantly in the Christian after I integrated more as Athena. So there's been a rich, rich heritage of scholarship that came in just before I integrated as Lady Athena. As Lady Athena, I come back in time from the future. It's called a future self overlay. And that produced a dramatic change in my life, and that's the integration of the I am, or the monadic self. And I'm telling you that story a little bit for the purpose of kind of showing how intricate we are and how we come back in time, many of us, to overlay a consciousness into a past persona or past time self. In other words, you're beginning to live a future life without having to die and reincarnate. Some of you are living more than one lifetime in this present incarnation. And these will be like mini lives within your life. They will have distinctive periods of time when you complete and actualize certain momentums or goals or whatever that you have set in place at a previous time. So we're saving time by coming back in the future and not leaving our bodies and getting a tremendous amount done in a very short lifespan. Most of our lives, when we come back in time, are extremely, I've done so many things in my life and can do so many things and do them well, that in itself was a little bewildering when I first came into the body. There was really nothing that I couldn't do. And many of you are such old souls that you come in with such a rich repository of experience that it's true, there's very little you can't do and do it well. And that's the characteristic of a very old soul, a multidimensionally aware soul. So to bring forward all of that potential and anchor it through your physical body requires whatever it requires. I was going to say it requires a good teacher and a good path, but some of you don't even have time for that. You come in, as soon as you're born, you're almost running, and you don't have time for the lengthy process such as I had. I had excellent teachers, I had excellent training, I was on a spiritual path consciously from the time I was five, and teaching since the time I was five, six, seven, eight, I began my work as a teacher. So maybe some of you that's also the case, and maybe some of you it isn't. All souls who are here to teach usually are scholars. They have to do a lot of reading, because if you don't have data banks filled with information, it's very hard for the soul to find things that it can then share with people out there, because they need tangible training and tangible techniques. And you have to have done the techniques and worked the processes to know whether or not they're appropriate for your people. So all teachers, and hopefully all those who receive information through various transmissional means, which I spoke about last week, have applied yourself to the study and are well-versed in your particular field. Otherwise, you get this kind of information that has a lot of platitudes but no substance. And you need substance if you're really going to teach, particularly advanced souls today. So the other thing is that you are trained from every experience, every job, every place you've been. You are never in an area that generally you're not to learn from. There's something to be learned and there's something to be given in every one of your lives. So wherever you are, you're in an arena of service. The purpose of your placement will have several different ramifications. Number one, you're an energy within the grid. Number two, you affect the consciousness grid by your thoughts, words, and deeds. Number three, you impact energetically every single thing that you interact with. The food that you eat goes through your bodily processes and mixes with your light codes. The people that you talk to are impressed by the vocal qualities, the tonalities of your voice, the frequencies of sound that constitute you, your energy signature. Everyone that you touch, you leave an indelible impression of etheric energy that connects you with that person for eternity. Yes, that's true. So if you factor in all your many lifetimes and your many associations and your many lovers and your many children and interactions and relationships with all kinds of souls, you will find probably at the end of this whole human dance, there's very few people you have not merged with and shared energy with in some form. This truly makes us a family of light and a family of life and the tree of life. And it also means that everything has significance. There's no wasted moments, beloved. There's no time in which we are not doing something that is training us, using us energetically, anchoring through us, or leading us experientially into the next level. So that's an eternal continuum. We always have an upline. We always have spiritual connectivity in the inner realms. These are lineages. These are orders. These are mystery schools. These are ashrams. These are masters, angels, teachers, guides, benefactors, souls who have perfected themselves and ascended to where they never will die again. They're in immortalized bodies of light. You also have beings who were living and then passed away in their physical form and now are existing in the astral or mental or causal or etheric realms. And those beings that loved you still love you. They didn't go anywhere. They're still in your life. You just can't see their physical forms. And nor should you call them back and try to get counsel from them, because they've lived their life. But they do pray for you, intercede for you, exert a powerful influence. You meet them in your dreams, and you will meet them again when you leave the body, particularly if you're of the same light quotient, you'll go to the same area of consciousness. When you get to a certain level, you are able to name the souls that you would like to pull from the lower worlds and come up to the higher worlds. So that's another value of standing in your mastery and becoming a conscious Christ, because at some point you can indeed call forth those into the higher worlds. The more you evolve and expand in your own auric field, in your own Merkaba, the more you are able to take people, just like the proverbial mother hen, under your wings and shelter them, absorb them in your aura. That's what the great master, the great avatar, Sri Satya Sai Baba, does. He takes souls and he enfolds them in his collective Merkaba, his auric field, and is able to deliver them and take them from entrapment in the lower worlds. Jesus the Christ, same thing, is able to save all of humanity, and everyone who would put trust into him and believe in him and follow him, he's able to take permanently out of entrapment in these lower worlds. So that's why it's very, very important to be associated with a great soul, with a great one who has consciously, physically, verbally, on your part and on their part, taken responsibility for you as a soul. This is the value of being initiated into a lineage. It's a real bona fide, tried and tested and true lineage of masters and adepts, because then you go up as a group, much like the mountain climbers that are all linked with the cord to each other. This is a principle that applies very much to the inner realms and the inner worlds. You might ask, well, how do I know who my teacher is and you know, what group should I join? You're already a member of inner plane groups. All you have to do is spend time really asking and praying to be connected to your spiritual family, to those who are part of God's highest destiny and plan for your life. And the masters usually find you before you find them. In fact, it's almost invariable. As soon as your light reaches a certain level, which requires a quest on your own part, a master comes in to work with you. And as you progress and as you unfold, a higher one comes and a higher one comes, until eventually, in many cases, you realize, oh, I am that master. Not only am I a son of that master, I'm actually that master. And you keep merging into these higher and higher aspects of self until ultimately you realize, oh, I am the one that has become the many, and yet I have always been the one. So those are the levels then that we call the levels of God realization. So after you have merged into the soul body and into the fifth world of truth, Satchkhand as it's called, the realm of truth, you also then began even longer progression into the God realms. The God realms never dissolve. They never go into, as I said before, pralaya, that period of rest and dissolution. They are not dismantled at the end of the age. The lower realms beneath soul will be consumed by fire in what's called Eshud. Eshud is a Hebrew word which means the devouring fire. And when you hear people evangelizing and being very, very concerned about saving souls, this is really what they're talking about, because souls need to be moved out of the lower realms and into the soul plane. And Jesus is the master that does that in order to escape the devouring of the lower worlds when this cycle of manifestation is completed. So we have a period of manifestation. And then you have a period in which that manifestation is completed. And basically what happens is that the schoolhouse closes down for remodeling. In this case, all of the lower planes beneath soul are dissolved. And then they're reissued forth as training grounds for souls in the next cycle. And that cycle, that big cycle, is called a Manvantara, which is a period of 26,000 years. So you see, we're coming to the end of a major 26,000-year period of time. So Pralaya is not going to happen tomorrow, the next day, or the next 1,000 years. You know, we've got some time ahead, I think a few billion years. But basically speaking, souls have to be out of the lower planes by that time, or they are reissued back to primordial beginnings. In the Bible, that's referred to as the second death. And so that's why the urge to salvation is so burned so much in so many hearts. And there is a sense of urgency in the sense that when opportunity knocks on your door, you never know if it will knock again in another lifetime. How many times do you have an opportunity, for example, in the case of Sai Baba, to be a contemporary with a Purna, a full avatar, not a partial avatar, but a full avatar. And you can get on a plane and go over to India and still see him in his physical body. Moreover, he will be re-embodying again in about 16 years as Prema Sai Baba. So we're going to have a major incarnation of the divine on earth for quite a while now. We don't know how long Prema Sai Baba will be with us, but assumedly for, you know, a long period of time. So when you have an opportunity to be with a great soul, truly a great soul, that is your time to avail yourself of that. So don't allow the lower mind to block you and to rob you of that great good fortune. Because every time you're allowed to be in the presence of a soul that truly, truly knows the divine, no matter to which degree, that is the grace of God coming to visit you. Most of you do find your contacts upon the inner planes, and that's usually when the masters first contact you and when you are first impressed with your own spiritual identity, and then you bring that through as a knowing when you wake up in the morning. So I hope this talk has been of a blessing to you, to help clarify a little bit about the process of integration, incarnating oneself sequentially through energetic overlays of consciousness, so that you keep appropriating more and more of who you are at higher levels and bringing it to bear here and integrating it and working it and applying it in service to the outer world. And this is what we call the cycle of the return of the Lords of Light. and this show is for you, the Lords of Light who are returning now, both the planetary Lords of Light and those celestial Lords of Light from many worlds who are incarnating now and coming in a variety of ways. Some will be landing from spaceships, some will be beamed down, some will walk into past time cells as I have done with this body of mine. Some will come in little bodies, just getting born. All of you will walk the earth as anointed ones, as Christs, as Buddhas, as great souls who have come to love and lift and shine away the illusion. I'm going to teach you a couple chants tonight, and these will serve you very well in your integrative process. To lift above the lower worlds, the lower consciousness, and the human karma drama that runs around like a gerbil cage in the lower mind, chant Hu or Ani Hu. I'll do two of them so that you can hear them. Hu. IQ connects you through the heart. The ah sound connects the heart and brings that energy. And then Soham is a good chant if you find yourself kind of airy fairy and not grounded. Soham. So from the United Ashtar Command, I wish you blessings of grace and light and love. I will be with you same time, same station, God willing, Wednesdays. And those of you that may like to contact me, just click on my show, The Voice of the Ashtar Command, and it'll take you to my webpage where you'll find Commander Lady Athena, AOL.com. That's CMDR, Lady Athena, at AOL.com. God bless you. God is blessing you. You live and move and have your being in God. God is before you, behind you, above and below. God bless you. Indeed, this love. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Amen.